Good morning, and as always, once again, welcome. As always, I am honored to stand before you and share with you another portion of God's Word, and it is my hope that our time spent together will bring glory to God, that the things that are said are true to His Word, that they will strengthen us as we strive to live as children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We do have visitors with us today, and I want to extend my welcome to you along with those that have already been extended. We are glad that you are here, and we want to invite you back at every opportunity that you have to do so. If you have questions about something that you observe, either in the way that we worship God, or if you have questions about something that I say in this lesson this morning, I would be more than happy to sit down and discuss that with you following the services. And if we cannot give a quick answer, maybe arrangements can be made for further studies. Just a couple of other things that I want to mention very quickly. One of them is our gospel meeting is rapidly approaching. It actually begins in 5 weeks from today with Mickey Galloway of Lancaster. I should have details within the next week or so of the topics that he's going to be presenting. He is going to be talking about the subject of James. The book of James, his lessons will be taken from there, and so we will be developing that and be praying for the success of that effort and that much good will be done as a result of that. The other thing is you may notice my voice is not quite normal because I am trying to get over a cold. Man, it's been a pretty bad cold. And, of course, I'm just telling you that because I'm trying to avoid shaking as many hands as possible because I don't want to share with you in these things, so don't take anything by me not shaking your hand, but I am glad that you are here. That having said, on to our lesson this morning. We are continuing our study this year dealing with the responsibilities of Christians toward others. And there's a lot to be said about that particular subject. Over the course of the past 2 months, we've talked about proper and improper attitudes and how they influence others. And last month, we dealt with what it means to serve. And we talked about a servant in various aspects, how we are all to be servants. We've looked at the example of Jesus as a servant. Well, today we're going a different direction. And what we're going to be focusing over the course of this month, and actually a couple of lessons next month, is we're going to be dealing with how we as Christians are to be examples. And how we are to be examples in every area of our life. Last week we presented a lesson dealing with the distinction between the church and the individual, particularly in the area of helping or serving others. And we noted that there are some distinctions. And we noticed that there is a difference between the individual and the church. Well, the truth is when you look at the life of an individual, the church is a part of his life. But there are other areas of his life as well. There is his responsibilities toward his work. There's his responsibility toward his government. There's his responsibility towards society or his community. And there's responsibilities toward one's family. And then there's the responsibility one has toward the church. And we want to talk about being an example in each and every one of these areas. I know that quite frequently in our studies I mention how being an example is one of those fundamental things that's associated with everything that you do. But this morning we're going to remind ourselves in a little more detail about what the Bible says specifically about being an example. And then starting next week we're going to look at those various relationships that I addressed. And look at each one of them and take a lesson to talk about what our responsibilities are in those areas and how they influence others. And so that's going to be our study over the course of this month and next month. But today we want to talk about simply being an example and what is involved in that. Now the term example is a term that, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary online, is a person or a way of behaving that is seen as a model that should be followed. And another definition, there is someone or something that is mentioned to help explain what you are saying. And that's the basis of those lessons. So, you know, we sometimes say, for example. And we'll give an illustration of it. I do that in preaching quite a bit. And the first example there is talking about you look at either something that is being done or someone, and it is something to be followed. Of course, I want to add to that, and I think based upon the biblical words, and there's actually several Greek words that are defined as example and other terms that are related to that in the New Testament. It's interesting that the term example, at least in the New King James Version, is used 14 times in the New Testament. And there's four different Greek words used in those four different times. The majority of the time it is this first one, which is tupos or typos. And our word type in the English language is a derivative of that Greek word. When you think, what is a type? A type is a model. A type is an example, if you will, of something else. And so you have here a model or behavior that is to be emulated. And this is what I would add, and I noticed that this is missing in the English dictionaries, is a behavior to be avoided. You know, there are good examples and there are bad examples. And we're going to mention both of those in a few moments. So I would kind of add to that. And when we're dealing with spiritual matters, we need to remind ourselves of that and be aware of that. And then another word that is used as you see it here, and what we have is the Greek word and then the transliteration, the hypodegma. Which it has a very similar meaning to that first word. Just like in the English language, we have many different words that can have very similar meanings to one another. Maybe a slight derivation in the meanings. And that's true. That's even true with Greek words that are translated into English. Sometimes you'll have different English words translated by the same Greek word. For example, when we think of the word, different words that you would use that deal with example include pattern, model, imitation, and we deal with that in Scripture. When you think of how something influences somebody else, obviously that's what we're dealing with when we're talking about example. And you have the idea of someone following somebody else. And all those things are associated with being an example. You know, the background, you know, why a pair of feet? Well, it's more about the footprints behind it. You know, you leave something behind and people might follow that as an example. So that's a good example of what an example is all about. Now, examples are something that we need to realize that as Christians, they are extremely powerful. It may be the most powerful tool that you have to have an impact on others, for good or for bad. And the truth is every one of us look up to others for examples. We have people in our lives that are an influence to us. We have people in our lives who have had an impact on us, we are who we are because of other individuals. First and foremost, you might think of your parents. And you look to your parents as an example, and that is certainly, our lives are shaped by that. Or we might have good friends that we know of that influence us. Or it may be an elder or a preacher spiritually or a faithful brother or sister in Christ that you look up to that encourages you. And they give you a model to follow after. And they've shaped you. Or it may be the ungodly of society. It may be your peers who are pressing you to do the wrong things and you follow their example. So, examples are very, very powerful, and all of us look up to others. And that is certainly something that we need to be concerned about. But you know what we need to be even more concerned about than that? And that is the fact that others are looking up to us. You might tell somebody, I don't want to be an example. You know, every once in a while you'll have a celebrity who, shall we say, has been behaving badly. And they will say, I don't want you to follow my example. Tough luck. Somebody is. People are looking up to you. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of, is there are people who are looking up to us. Children who are looking up to their parents as the example. All those examples we mentioned a few moments ago, look at it from the opposite standpoint. Your peers may be looking to you. When you stand up and refuse to follow after the evil path, there may be somebody watching you, and they may be encouraged to do the right thing as a result of that. Or they watch your bad behavior, and they're influenced as a result of that. So we are examples to others. And that's why we need to weigh the importance of being a proper example in every aspect of our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about. And what we need to realize that as Christians is our example may be the only Bible this careless world will read. Song number 512 in our book is called the World's Bible, and that's exactly what it's reminding of us, or reminding us of. So we may be the only opportunity that the world gets to see Christ. That is, introduce Christ to them. Of course, our hope is that by looking at our example, that will lead to an opportunity to open the Word of God and actually teach them what God's Word says and how God's Word has changed our lives and influenced our lives. That's a wonderful song to sing from time to time. So we find that there's great power in being an example. There's examples within families. You know, I've already mentioned how children look up to their parents. And we're going to deal more with this. Maybe later this year we may deal extensively with the influence on others within a family. We need to remind ourselves of that. 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2 talks about how a wife of an unbelieving husband by her example. It says there, her chaste conduct. He observes her chaste conduct. Maybe he will be won. So there's the idea of example and influence within a family. And that's probably one of the most powerful areas of influence in our lives. I'll tell you right now, that's where it's going to start. You know, you hear somebody say the first 5 or 6 years of one's life is where their direction is typically set. And there's truth to be said to that. And that's why parents have an awesome responsibility. And husbands and wives being examples. We have examples toward one another as brethren. Paul, in talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And we're going to address that more toward the end of this particular lesson here. And I realize that Paul's talking to Timothy as a preacher, but he's telling him to be an example to his brethren, isn't he? He's telling him he has a responsibility to be an influence to them for good. Elders, you know, are also an influence, and we're an influence to one another. In Titus chapter 2, you have an example of how the younger men are to be an example in what they do. And it's interesting when you look at that text, even though it mentions the younger men, there's also things that are said to older men, older women, younger women, and how the older women are to teach the younger women. Again, the emphasis there, or the implication is there, of example, among other things. And even among unbelievers, we have a responsibility to be an example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse number 12, Peter there says, and actually you begin in verse 11, he says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." You live honorably. You have honorable conduct in your lives as you're trying to influence the world for good. As you're trying to influence the ungodly for good. We have to make sure that we are shining as lights to a world that needs it so much. And not trying to act like the rest of the world. Which is what happens so often. And one thing to realize about our example is we're going to be held accountable for that. And I'll just give you one passage to consider along that lines, and this is Jesus speaking here in Matthew chapter 18, and in verse number 6. And Jesus there says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom offense comes. That's talking about our example. And Jesus illustrates it there. Woe to those who make a little child stumble. And the idea of a little child, as Jesus often teaches, is innocence. You have one who is innocent and one who is pure. And if somebody offends them, and not makes them mad, but offend as in causes to stumble, causes to sin, causes to fall away, woe to that man. That's the warning of Jesus. We're going to be accountable for the example that we set before others. So we can see the importance of being an example. And there are numerous passages of Scripture that we would give consideration to. One of the more prevalent and prominent on this is taught by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 13, where Jesus gives two illustrations or examples of being a proper example. He says there, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus here emphasizes that we are salt and that we are our light where this world is concerned. And that's a significant illustration to understand there. Actually, last year I presented a lesson when I was talking about what a Christian is. Where we talked about a Christian as salt and light. Joshua also presented a similar lesson in his gospel meeting last year. That's my son. In April of last year, he presented a similar lesson, reminding us of influence. And when you think of salt, you think of how salt creates taste or creates thirst in people. It preserves and it flavors items. And the idea that, you know, when you talk about salt as an influence, we note that it doesn't take a whole lot of salt to flavor food. And that's the idea of example. We just, by the way that we're living, just living day to day, we're doing things right, we are an influence on this world. And the idea of light. You know, light is that which eliminates truth, exposes error, drives away darkness, guides us, and it even attracts us toward its source. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul, in speaking to these brethren, says there, beginning in verse number 14, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Notice how he says that we shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're the light that this world needs to see. We need to shine forth the light of Jesus. The light of His Word. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 7, again we mentioned this just a few moments ago, Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 7, speaking there to young men, he says that you are in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and so on and so forth. In all things you show yourself a pattern. Be an example. Show people how to respond when somebody says something unkind to you. Show people how to respond when a driver cuts you off. Or whatever the circumstance is. Show a pattern of what a follower of Christ is like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 12, Paul, speaking of himself and others, makes this point here. He says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." Notice how he says that we, with a good conscience, conducted ourselves among you in the world. In other words, we acted properly. We were an example. And incidentally, you know what Paul's doing in 2 Corinthians? He's defending accusations. He's defending charges that were made against him, probably based upon writing 1 Corinthians, which is a pretty strong letter of rebuke. And quite often, what happens when somebody exposes your errors and you don't want to acknowledge that, what you do is you go after the one that said something to you. Well, you know what? When your conduct or your character and your example is such that you are above reproach, it becomes difficult for somebody to make a charge against you that will stick. It's not that they can't say something against you. They will. Trust me. They will try to assassinate your character. But if you are of integrity and have a godly character, it won't last. It won't stand. And that's the point. That's the point that Paul is making there. Proverbs 20 and verse 7 tells us that the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed in him. And you know what it means when somebody walks in their integrity? It means that they're a proper example. It means that they're going to do the right thing, regardless of the consequences. That's the example that people need to see in us. We look at scriptures and we can see in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse number 11 that elders lead by example. We're told there in that passage there to consider the outcome of their conduct there. Because they're leading us. In 1 Peter 5 verses 2 and 3, it talks about elders, how they are examples to us. How that's the way that they shepherd the flock, among which they have been made overseers, leading by example. By their example, that's what people observe. So you see that as an example within a congregation. I find in Hebrews chapter 6, in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, you read in that particular text there that the Hebrew writer says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We imitate the good examples. We follow the examples of those who are doing the right thing. We can learn from the good examples of others. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the place to learn. That's why elders need to meet the qualifications that are there. You know, they are men who have proven themselves, who have a character where when a charge is made against them, their integrity means it won't stick. Because they've proven themselves. And that's why you follow their example. Paul is just a great example of this. And over, Paul emphasizes his example. Not to brag. You know, a lot of times Paul is reluctant in the things that he has to say. And you get into 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12, he really regrets saying what he has to say. But he says it anyways. And when I say he regrets it, it's because he's talking about his quote-unquote qualifications. You know, he's talking about himself. And he doesn't like doing that. He said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 17, though, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And again, don't read ego into that. It's about godliness. It's about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse 1, where he said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 9, Paul there makes the point, these things which you have, or the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Follow a godly example. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, toward the conclusion of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul tells Timothy, and I'm over in Titus here, 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 and 11, he makes the point there, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. And he goes on and he describes many of these things that have happened to him. You followed my example in these things. Paul's commending Timothy for following a good example. And so you have in Paul an example worthy of imitation. And we can learn from that example. But we can also learn from bad examples. You know, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11 where this is just one passage that talks about this, but in that text you read there, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Now, if you go back to the context, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 10, Paul begins to describe some of the sinful conduct of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Idolatry. How they were continually complaining and murmuring. How they were caught up in fornication or sexual immorality. And the things that happened to them because of these things. And Paul says, these things are an example. Learn from them. Basically, how not to conduct yourself. Much of the Bible describes not only the good character of individuals, but it describes their flaws and their weaknesses. And it describes many individuals who were rebellious against God. And they're there as examples for us. They're written for our learning so that we will learn how not only to walk, but how not to walk. And that's the important thing about examples. Learn from the examples of others, both good and bad. A couple of other observations to make in dealing with examples, though, is number one is this. God is an example. You know, there are several passages that emphasize how we follow the example of God. In Leviticus 19 and in verse number 2, speaking to the children of Israel, Moses said, you shall be holy. Or the Lord spoke to him, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In Matthew 5 and in verse number 48, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 48, Jesus there speaking, and this is an interesting context. It's in a context that's talking about loving your enemies. And then in verse number 48 of that text, Jesus says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, God is literally perfect. We will never attain to the perfection of God. But we need to be working in that direction, shouldn't we? We need to look at His example as the ultimate plateau that we are striving for. And like I said, while we may never reach that level in our lives, every day we ought to be getting closer to it instead of further away. And that's the point of that. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 32. Paul there says in that text, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You want to learn how to forgive? Look at how you've been forgiven. Look at the example of God and what He has done for you. Going down to the next verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate God. God's an example. And so is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our ultimate example from the standpoint of humanity. From the standpoint of He came to this earth and He lived on this earth. You know, someone might argue about God. Well, God can't understand. Yeah, He created us, but He doesn't know what it's like to live on this earth. Jesus does. That's why Paul, when he said, imitate me, he was not making the point of, again, he said, I'm no big deal. He says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And that was the point. Imitate Christ. Two or three weeks ago, we looked at the example of Jesus in serving. And one of the things Jesus said after He washed the disciples' feet, there in John chapter 13, and in verse number 35, Jesus there said to His, He made the point there that, He made the point there that you follow My example in all things. Or verse 15, He says, I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. I've given you an example. John 13 and verse number 15. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 25. Peter there says in that text, beginning in verse 21, he says, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He is an example of suffering. He is an example to follow after. You want to learn how to react when people are treating you wrong? Look at how Jesus acted as He was being lied about by the Jewish leaders as they were seeking charges against Him. And as they stand before Pilate and change the charges. But yet, He was an example. And He suffered. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Philippians chapter 2, and as we've noted throughout our studies this year, verse number 3 is our theme verse, if you will. Where you read in verse number 3 there, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. And that's the point of that whole text. Jesus left heaven and came to this earth for you and me. He cared about you and me. He gives us an example of what humility is. He gives us an example of what serving others is. We need to learn from the example of Jesus. There's many others that we could notice. But for the remainder of our time, I want us to turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 12, where Paul, speaking to young Timothy, tells him to be an example. Again, he says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. And he lists several qualities here. And you ask yourself, in what manner of life should I be an example? Here's a good list. Here's a good list, and I want us to consider these things. He says, first of all, be an example in word. Now, of course, the point that he has in mind there is the way that we talk and what we say. And that's what's actually being dealt with in this particular text. And there are numerous passages of Scripture that tell us that our conversation with others needs to be with godly words and a godly disposition. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 29, Ephesians 4 and verse number 29, he says there, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And in verse number 31, there, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another. He talks about you put away those hateful types of things, and that's another thought to consider when we talk about our words. Our language, we need to restrain our lips. You're an example in word by what you say to others and by what you don't say to others. How many of us get in trouble because we're slow to hear and swift to speak rather than the other way around? We need to make sure that we're restraining our lips. Sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing. Sometimes the best example you can be in your conversations with others is to say nothing. And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to watch our words. Read James chapter 3. About the first 12 or 13 verses there, it talks about the tongue and the damage that an out-of-control tongue can do. The damage that a bitter tongue can do. We've got to be an example in our words. And I also add to this the Word of God. We need to be an example in what we say and the fact that we live the Word of God. Paul will tell Timothy a little further in that text. Matter of fact, in the next verse there. You know, he makes the point there that you be an example in all these things. In verse 13, till I come, give an example, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Pay attention to the Word. Verse 16 of that text, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You be an example in the Word of God. So in all those things, be an example. But in addition to that, we are to be an example in our conduct or our behavior. And it's interesting because the King James Version uses the word conversation here. But it's talking about our manner of life. The way that we conduct ourselves. The way that our body language converses who we are. And that word conduct. The word conduct, James chapter 3, and in verse number 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his words are done in the meekness of wisdom. Have proper conduct in your life. 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse number 15. 1 Peter 1, and in verse number 15, you read there in that particular text. It says there, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In all your conduct, in your conversation, your manner of life, be an example. Be an example not only in what you say, but also in what you do. In addition to that, you be an example in love. And when we're talking about love, we're talking about the motives. We're talking about the motives behind our conduct. And the motives behind our words. And the motives behind what we are doing. We need to genuinely care for others. And the word that is used here is this word agape. You care about others enough to sacrifice for what is best. That's the genuine care that we need to have for others. And the world needs to see that in our lives. It needs to see that we are conducting ourselves that way. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 14, Paul there says, let all that you do be done in love. The greatest commandment is to love God. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Be an example by loving your neighbor. Let it be a proper caring motive behind the things that you say and you do. Be an example in that to others. And along with that, New King James Version uses the word spirit here. And this is not necessarily dealing with the Holy Spirit, but it is believed that the point that is being addressed here is the idea of being zealous or being fervent. Being on fire. And the idea of this is that we have an attitude where we're striving to do the right thing and we're doing it wholeheartedly. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 11. Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 11. In that particular text, Paul says that we are to be not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's the idea of what we're talking about here. We're fervent in spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 22, you read, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We need to have a fervency in our lives. We need to have zeal. We need to be zealous for good works. And that's be an example in that. Also be an example in faith. And the idea of faith is trusting God. And I realize that the more you mature in the faith, the stronger your faith becomes. But also at the same time, you realize that it's easy to say have faith, but it's also hard to do. And you realize sometimes how much of a challenge it is to genuinely trust God, to genuinely believe God and believe what He says. And that's easy to do when everything's going great, but during the difficult times, and when trusting God means you're going to have to, you know, as they say, go out on a limb or something to that effect. The Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You cannot please God without faith. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse number 22, the Hebrew writer there made this point. Where he said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Notice how he talks about there, you draw near to God in a full assurance of faith. That's the type of faith that we need to have, and that's, we need to be an example in that to the world. And finally, we need to be an example in purity. And when I think of purity, I think of that which is unpolluted. I think of that which is undiluted. I think of that which is genuine. And the idea of the text that is used here is the idea of a moral purity. As a matter of fact, the word that is used here is actually only used twice in the New Testament. It's used in this particular text, and it's used in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And in verse number 2, where it talks about how older women are to, you're to treat older women or as mothers and younger women as sisters with all purity. So it's talking about how it's talking about how it's not polluted in any ways. And that's a purity that we need to have. We need to, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, if we want to enter the presence of God, Psalm 24 and verse number 4 says that you must have clean hands and a pure heart. We've emphasized the importance of a pure heart in recent studies. We need to have purity in our lives and we need to be an example to the world. And I will tell you right now, this world desperately needs pure examples. This world is filthy. And I'm not just talking about the dirt on the streets. I'm talking about the minds of this world. I'm talking about the conduct. and it seems to be getting more and more filthy each and every day. They need to see examples of purity in our lives in every way. That's what it means to be an example. And may we strive in our walk to be the example that God would have us to be. So I ask, is your walk, is your manner of life worthy of imitation? Think about it. Lesson is yours. I ask you to open your songbooks now to number 336. There is a great day coming. There is a day coming when we are going to stand before God and answer for the walk that we've had. But we're going to answer for the example that we have set before others. When that day comes, will it be a great day for you or will it be a sad day? That's really up to what the way that you've lived and how you respond to the gospel invitation. If you have never obeyed the gospel, then we extend an opportunity this morning. If you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Son of God and be immersed. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. We're ready right now to help you if that is your need. Or if as a child of God, you have not been faithful to Him, repent of your sins. As Peter told Simon the magician in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, confess your sins to God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, in prayer, and He will forgive you your sins. Maybe you need to publicly acknowledge those sins, or maybe you just need the prayers of the brethren. Whatever your need is, if you have, as we have opportunity, come forward as we stand.